But let me just
But
say, I think that's lovely. And if someone said they love the show, if you can just, you know, go back to my mum and say thank you for sending that text message.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the, I guess, the last Brad and Body Podcast for NBL 25. What a year it's been. The Illawarra Hawks are the NBL champions. What a fantastic game it was. Botond, my friend, how are you?
I'm pretty good, and I'm very impressed that you picked the Sydney Kings to win the championship. And I say this because at least you had the state right.
Well, did I actually say Sydney Kings or just New South Wales?
No, come on now.
Well, hang on. You want to have a go at me? Who'd you pick?
I picked Melbourne United. And they're always the team you're going to have to beat to win the championship by the looks of things. Mm-hmm. So they are the benchmark, though.
They are the benchmark, and we'll come back to that because I think there's going to be some changes with that Melbourne United team, so we want to go through that very briefly. But let's just talk the actual Game 5. Obviously, the last time we spoke, it was 2-2 going into Game 5. There was talk, would Shea Illy play? Was there talk Trey Kerr would play? Both did play. Both had very good games. What a game it was. It was really the second quarter. I haven't seen this much, Boddy, and I'm not sure if you saw this stat. Quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three was all tied. All of them. Yep. 26-all, yep. 22-all, and 32-all. It was quarter two, 34-24, that was the game.
Yeah. You know, and I think realistically, that older Melbourne team, I mean, we're all geniuses in hindsight, but that older group, I felt they had to get it done in four because I didn't think they could run with Illawarra in five, and that's the way it proved. I thought they needed to come out, Brad, and really go for hell for leather to start with, and they did. They got to 2010, and I thought, well, this is what they need. They need to establish a big lead because the Hawks will come home with a wet sail with that crowd. And then 2010, as you say, by the end of the quarter, it was 26 apiece.
It was an amazing game. I'll just go through some stats here. Obviously, William Dave O'Hickey, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists in 30 minutes. What a game. Trey Kell coming back after two games off, 26, 11 rebounds and 7 assists. Not one of the greatest games for Tyler Harvey, but he scored 16 quality points. And didn't hit a three in that game five, but backdoors, made some clutch threes. And I thought Wani Swakalabulluk, 16 points, and Lockie Ulbrich were 12. What a fantastic five they were, but had some good things from Hung Jung Lee. And obviously, the last thing I'll finish on, and then you can talk about Illawarra, is that it was great to see Sam Frohling so part of that win.
Yeah, yep. And Todd Blanchfield, you know, Mason Peeling, Darius Days, all did something worthwhile somewhere in the game that was important to the final result. But Wani Swakalabulluk, I'm going to talk about him for a second. I don't think there's anybody that's won four championships at four different locations. He's won at Perth, he's won at United, he's won at Sydney.
It's three teams, right? So he's won two in Perth, one in Sydney, one in Illawarra. But I'm trying to think, David Stiff, maybe? Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's two the only one that came to mind.
Yep. All right, I thought he won a fourth one somewhere else. But I thought it was Melbourne, but obviously I got that mixed up. Doesn't matter. The fact is that he's a young man and he's won four championships. And I think sometimes his contribution gets overlooked because he worked his butt off on Chris Goulding, and Chris Goulding had to work very, very hard. You know, and for the first time, and I say this with all great respect, but for the first time, Chris Goulding looked like he was 36 late in that game.
Yeah, it was certainly an interesting one. Well, let's talk about the Melbourne side of things. Chris had 21 for the game, 5 of 15, hit a couple of threes late. Shaley had 20. Jack White had a better game with 17, but It was then Rob Lowe that had 14, Ian Clark had 15, but they shot 41%. But the biggest one for me, Boddy, they shot 45 free throws, 22 more than the Hawks, and they made 32. They left 13 free throws on the line in a 10-point loss. That was big.
I'll give him one of those free throws, though, that one that Marcus Lee shot after he'd badly injured his right shoulder, that missed by about 5 feet to the left. Give him that one, eh? And then he shot his next one with left hand and made it. So there were some real anomalies. But that was a huge stat. But also a little bit overlooked is the fact that Lee got hurt. And at one stage, Ian Clark was walking around with his shoulder dropped a bit too. And he looked like he was in a bit of trouble. So the combination of age, injury, and then atmosphere, because that atmosphere, Brad, you were there. Obviously sensational.
Boddy, I'm telling you, my ears were ringing for 2 days. I'm not joking. It was that loud in there, my ears. It was one of the most electrifying atmospheres. And, you know, like you, Boddy, I've been to many games, right? And I've been in the, Homebush in Kudos Bank Arena when they had 18,000. That I've been to Townsville when they had 5,000 and I couldn't hear Alan Black sitting in front of me when I'm playing, right? I couldn't hear the coach in the timeout. And I can honestly say I don't think I've seen or heard of a louder crowd than what that was the other night. The last one I want to make, 53 to 20 in the rebounding count. I think, if I'm not wrong, every game, whoever won the rebounding won the game.
Yeah. Look, it was a phenomenal performance by Illawarra. Give them the whole season. First time they've won the regular season championship in the club's history. And they've won the championship in the best possible way. Five games. I mean, the controversy was over the MVP, the Larry Sengstock medalist, and the way that that is voted upon. Well, I can see how they arrived at that result. But here's the thing. Your performance in game one, even if you're best on court in game one, probably is not as good as the performance of someone who's best on court in game five when the championship is being decided. So I think the voting method has to be a bit skewed to the fact that the further the series goes, the more important the votes become, so that the greater the votes should be, if you get what I mean. Instead of like 3-2-1 all the way through.
There was. I've had a lot of people ask me, and just so we understand the situation for our listeners, the way it's voted at the moment, there's five people that vote 3-2-1 after every game. So my understanding, and it sounds like that Dellavedova was winning no matter what happened in game five, because he had more than 15 points lead on everyone going into game five. Now you look back at those games. I don't disagree. I looked at all the voting. I don't really disagree with any of them. I think, you could argue. Could you argue one may, a 3-point win to this and a 2-point win to that guy? Big deal. Swap them around. Not much, right? But what the talk is now is a game four and game five when a Dave O'Hickey, is on the line and does his 20-point back-to-backs or whatever, is that worth more than what happened in one and two? And that's what you're saying. And I do agree.
I'm saying that if it's gone past the sweep, right? So it's more than three games, then it should go from 3-2-1, maybe to 5-3.
Do you know what my son said, Boddy? And he's 14, right? 14 on the 28th, right? And he said to me, Dad, why don't they just do it where you do the same voting, but it's the highest place losing team, winning team? I was like, I don't mind that, because sometimes it can be close in a five-game series and just the winning team gets it.
So this isn't what he normally says to you, which is, Dad, get out of my room and please leave those magazines.
Well, no, what he actually says to me is, when am I going to meet my dad? I know you're pretending to be him, but when am I meeting him? All right, Boddy, I want to go through. I'm going to throw some things at you. This is out of left field, listeners. He's not ready for this, but I want to throw you at some left curves. Matthew Dellavedova, does he stay or go from Melbourne?
I think Melbourne has to get younger. Now, whether they get younger via a couple of other moves, I don't think we'll see Ian Clark back. I don't think we'll see Rob Lowe back, not that he plays that position. But I think Matthew's will have suitors in places like Sydney. I think going there and playing for Brian Gorgian, with Andrew Bogut and also on the coaching staff. I think that would be a legitimate opportunity for him to think about. Also, Brisbane Bullets, they would love his leadership. They'd love any kind of leadership in that club.
Well, I did hear, speaking of the Bullets, I did hear Will McDowell-White could be going back to there as well.
Oh, that would be a fantastic pickup. And all due respect to Dele, if there was a choice between the two, I'd take McDowell-White only because of the age.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Dele. There's a three-year deal is what he's trying to get, which will take him to the LA Olympics, is what I'm hearing. All of this, I can say to you, is just hearsay. I don't know. I'm just saying that. So if you go no Dele, I don't know whether they bring Lee back, no Rob Lowe, no Ian Clark. That's going to be some big changes. Bryce Cotton's the next one I want to talk about. He's come out this week, which you've been saying, I think, since NBL 24. You've been saying it since that long. That Bryce Cotton will not be back to Perth for NBL 26. He's come out and he's announced he will not. I thought what he wrote, if anyone hasn't seen it, I saw it on Insta. I'm sure it's on others as well. I thought it was beautifully written and well said.
Yeah, look, I think he's a Perth Wildcats man. I think I've said it all along. I could see him, as soon as I knew he was going to be a free agent at the end of the season, that's when I sort of thought, well, there's no way he'll play for another NBL club. So anybody that's going to link him to the United or Kings or whatever, the usual rigmarole, is a nonsense. He's not going to leave Perth. He's a Perth guy the same way now that Damian Martin is, that Ricky Grace is, that Jesse Wax. They may be from somewhere else, but they're Perth guys, and he's a Perth man.
Yeah, but, and the talk is, yep.
Sorry, that I just sort of knew that if he's got a couple of years, he's just played one of his best ever seasons. You know, of the four MVPs he's got, this is the one where he was racking up huge amounts of points. So, I mean, he's still got it. So, how much longer will he still have it? So, these next 2 years are probably his primary earning opportunity. So, he's got to go somewhere where there's more money. And Japan, I was tipping Japan pretty much all along from the moment that Trevor Gleeson got there. So we don't know if that's going to be the case. But I was sure he would not be back at Perth. He would go and explore. Then he can make some money. He can put that away. And then he can come back to Perth in 2 years' time. And he's probably still got a year or two left in him then. So he was still.
I agree. There was talk Melbourne are going after him. I'm with you. I just can't see him. If he's going to stay, he's going to play for Melbourne. Because it would be, you'd think Perth will match anything Melbourne do or vice versa money. So it's not that side of things. So, all right. So the next one, and just so you know, 28 points a game he averaged like this year. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So if you don't cash in right now, you're never going to. So that was his chance. He's going to go. He's going to get some big money somewhere. And then I'm betting in 2 years' time, Perth Wildcats fans will be celebrating. He'll be rolling back up in red.
Don't disagree at all. So let's talk about the next guy who was averaging just over 25 points a game, Kendrick Davis. There's talk that Matt Weston went over and saw him where he's playing. I think, was that in China or Japan? I don't know where he's playing.
What a waste of an airfare. What a total and utter waste of an airfare. Matt Weston loves it in China. He did a lot of work for the NBL in China back in the day, so he probably just enjoyed the trip. Kendrick Davis and Mike Wells, the coach of the 36ers, barely coexisted through that season, did not get along. It was obvious to anybody with two eyes. There's no way that they were both going to be at Adelaide 36ers next season. And anybody who thought otherwise or got himself a trip to China, good luck to you, because Kendrick Davis not coming back to Adelaide was super obvious. Obvious. Look, I mean, and I would be sure, I'd be surprised, Brad, if Montrezl Harrell was back in Adelaide.
Well, there's another guy who had 20 this year as well. So, look, I'm a good mate of Matty Weston's. I can understand why he'd go there. You'd do everything in your power to bring that guy back. But, he said no. Do you think he's going?
Free holiday.
Do you think it's Perth? Do you think he's Perth or not coming back to the NBL?
Well, hey, come on now. Who did he get along with most? Who did he most respect and admire? A fellow by the name of Bryce Cotton.
Amen.
Is Bryce in Perth? No, Bryce isn't there. There's a big hole there to fill. That would seem to be a very, very good suggestion. Far better than people that are linking him to the Kings. I don't see that.
I don't know if that'll work. But I do, in the back of my mind, is also PJC. Is he going back to New Zealand? There's talk, obviously, this week. New Zealand got sold for a very hefty amount. Something you mentioned a few years ago. Yeah, you said that as well. Is this the Body Nodge, lifting you up trophy?
This is the I told you so show.
So it'll be interesting to see. Look, really looking forward to it. I think April 4, if I'm not mistaken, it's usually this 2 weeks after the last game. So I think it's April 4 where free agencies, some times will happen. The Illawarra Hawks have said they want to bring everyone back. I have heard, though, that Gary Clark could be in the midst of coming back, which would mean Darius Days would not, because they've obviously, with the import side of things, so if Trey Kell and Tyler Harvey are there, that only leaves one spot. That would be very interesting if that happened.
Yeah, I think that would be an upgrade. All due respect to Darius Days, who played in the championship when Gary Clark didn't. But Gary Clark's fellow import was Justin Robinson, and he's no Trey Kell. When Trey Kell's going, he's as good as anybody. And, hats off to him, because we were super critical of him last week. And mm-hmm. I think justifiably so. I think you've got to get yourself on the... When you're playing for the championship, get yourself on the floor. Strap up, take a needle, whatever it takes, get on the floor. This is the championship. And he did. And he came through. Certainly came through. What do you have? Another, like Dave O'Hickey, a near triple-double with...
Well, he did. 20, points, yeah, I mentioned before, 26, 11 and 7.
That's answering the critics, and good. That's standing up and showing that you have got something there that, in your heart. That was good. So you bring Gary Clark into that group, who is a better player than Darius Days, and that maybe gets you through that period that you're going to have to go through before Sam Froling comes back, because he's going to be out for 6 to 9 months, which would take you into about halfway through that season.
Yeah, there was talk, just so we know, I actually saw Sam's dad the other day, and he told me that Sam had not completely ruptured his Achilles. There's still, and I'm not using doctor's terms, he's still a bit hanging on, I guess is the right words, and that is a good thing. It's still the same recovery and everything, but being that it's not a complete rupture, that certainly helps.
Yeah. So, they've just got to, it's a bit like Tasmania, when you're waiting for a Will Magnay or a Sean McDonald, you just got to be able to break even or win your games at home, maybe pick up one or two on the road, and then you get that big boost when Froling comes back in.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, there'd be big chance then to go back to back. Of course, we're presuming that Justin Tatum will be there. I know he's committed to being there, as is Scott Roth in Tasmania, but these guys, just like players, if a better opportunity comes along, you got to take it. You have
absolutely
to take it.
Anything could happen. Like, I am hearing Scott Roth will be back in Tasmania, but I haven't. Yep. It's too early with the Tatum side. Now, normally to our listeners, we would have our Rosen Rattler and Nodge Nasty. And, before we start the show, Boddy and I say, what's yours and what's yours? And ironically, both at the same time, we said the same thing. Now, normally, if this was to happen, we would turn around and go, oh, no, you do something, you do this or, you do that. Boddy, I'm going to say let you have this one, because we decided it was that important with both of our Nasty and Rattlers that we are going to do it together. Over to you.
Okay, well, it's about the Illawarra crowd booing post-game a couple of times where it was totally inappropriate. Show some class. Chris Goulding comes up as the defeated captain that just lost the championship and you're booing him. Now, look, game starts, you want to boo him, you want to chant stuff at him, all bets are off, you can do it. The game is over, he's no longer that person, he's now a human being. Treat him with respect, he's the captain of the opposition. They've just lost in 5 games, that's going to be heartbreaking. Second year in a row, ease up. That's not a time to be booing or carrying on or dragging that sort of situation beyond what exists. And then we got Matthew Dellavedova, who comes on, and from the moment he came to the microphone to accept, in quotes, the Larry Sengstock trophy as the MVP of the Championship Series. From the moment he got there, you could see on his face, he had something he wanted to say, but the crowd's too busy booing. Now, I know in that instance, they were not booing Matthew Dellavedova. They were booing the decision, right? But Deli just said, just like, hang on, I've got something I want to say here, and that is, this belongs to Will Dave O'Hickey. And then he showed absolute sportsmanship and class to walk down and hand it to him, much to Hickey's surprise, dismay, and he didn't want it. He said, no, you've earned it. I was like, no, you've earned it. Take it. Brilliant.
I love what you said, and that's why I said nothing. I just wanted you to finish that because I completely agree. Now, I'm going to give my 2 cents worth. As someone that has been, you know, played against Illawarra for many years, but in the last 10 years commentated down there every year, I actually have got a soft spot for Illawarra because they're such great people and they're passionate about their team and they're so good and there's a real community down there. And sometimes it is, a bit of us versus them, which I don't really necessarily agree with, but that's cool. I got no problems with that. The way they cheer on their team, the sign where it was the flopping sign, I have no issues with brilliant. That. The yelling, the abuse, brilliant. You know, having all of that. But I completely agree with you. You overstepped the mark by allowing not only the captain of the opposition, this guy's also an Australian boomer, right? And you've just booed him. And in fact, so was both of them when you talk Dele and Chris Goldie, right? And that was something I was like, no, don't go there. That's not necessary. And now I completely agree with you. I understand the passion, I understand the love, but I completely agree. Boddy?
Two quick things. Last year when Tasmania won in Melbourne in John Cain Arena, The United fans did not have that sort of carry on when Tasmania was, when Jack McVeigh was winning the Larry Stock Medal, when they handed the trophy. United fans showed class. The worst this has ever been, and I don't know if you can remember it, Brad, but you probably will, throw your mind back to 1993 when Melbourne Tigers won in Perth and the Perth fans booed throughout the entire post-game ceremony, which was, that was the single worst moment in NBL history for that sort of behaviour. They've been much better since, but that was a shocker. Illawarra, you can do better than that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Boddy, we're going to end on that. And what a year it's been. I don't think we should. We're going to keep this pod going a little bit. It probably won't be weekly. Yeah, we'll get some interviews. So just so people can still look out, we'll get some interviews on there. You'll see it on our socials to be able to push that. And also, I think there'll be things that happen, you know, in the off season with signings and stuff that I think will be good to talk about. So, mate, I wanted to say thank you for NBL 25. It was great. To all our listeners, thank you. And Boddy, you can have the final word as you normally do.
it is. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate the feedback. Some of it's been fabulous, and none of it's been negative, which is great. So thank you for that. We're glad you enjoyed the show, and we look forward to being back soon. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great off-season. See you next time.
So, Brad, have you ever experienced being booed?
Only when I come home and my family see me.
Boo!